Hi, everyone. I'm so honored to have Javier with us today. We're all very honored to have Javier with us. We've been trying to get somebody from Zacopa to come join us for the last 4 years, and very pleased to have you here. I'll try and be brief, but he has a long history with the cooperative movement. Javier graduated law and spent his whole career in cooperative enterprises. His professional activity spans the areas of human resource management and consultancy to cooperative enterprises. He participated in the drafting commission of the first law of 1993 of June 24th, the cooperatives of the Basque Autonomous Region of Spain. So he helped draft the legislation in Spain. He is the representative of the Federation of Worker Cooperatives of the Spanish Basque Autonomous Region, the Spanish Confederation of Worker Cooperatives, which is COSITA. Since 1996, he's been the president of the Confederation of Basque Cooperatives, where he promoted the recent modification of Basque cooperative law, as well as the statutory of norms for the fiscal regime of cooperatives, and recently published cooperative regulation. He's a member of the European Council of the ICA, which is the International Cooperative Alliance, the International Organization for Cooperatives, on the board of CEPES, the Spanish Entrepreneurial Confederation of Social Economy, and the Coordinating Committee of the European Cooperative Associations, as well as the European Permanent Conference of Cooperative Mutual Associations and Foundations. He was the legal advisor for the first FEGOR group in Mondragon, and later developed an intense activity in research, advice, and training in the areas of company law, fiscal law for cooperatives that regulate, and in the regulation of cooperatives. In general, he looks at social, commercial, and financial groups, partners, directors, and executives. He's done many, many presentations. He's the author of four books on cooperatives. And we're very, very pleased to have you here.
With the help with this simple instrument, I am going to try to explain some things about the workers' cooperatives in the world and the role of Zacopa in this field. Well, the first slide doesn't need any explanation. We can follow. It's me. It's very easy to understand. It's the law of Zacopa. Then we see that my lecture is very, very, very easy. Well, Zacopa is the sectoral organization of the International Cooperative Alliance for Industrial and Service Cooperatives. It's not the only sectoral organization. As you know, there are other sectoral organizations, agricultural sector, consumer cooperative sector, banking sector, etc., etc., etc. Then Zacopa is the sectoral organization for industrial and service cooperatives. With a exception, the distributive and financial services, which are covered by other sectoral organizations of the ICA, other sectors, for instance, banking, etc. I have to change that because the last number is 57 active members, which are organizations federating or promoting cooperatives in 39 countries. We are growing. All the world, in Europe, above all, in America, in Africa, and in Asia. In Asia, there are no much countries, but the countries that have workers' cooperatives and above all artisans' cooperatives are very important, for instance, in India and in China. There are millions of people. They are direct members of SICOPA. Indirect members, there are much more. And one of the of our main objectives or aims is to make more affiliation, more membership everywhere. It's one of the of our aims. SICOPA represents two distinct types of cooperatives. Workers' cooperatives, where the members are the workers of enterprise, and artisans' cooperatives, where the members are independent artisans and small enterprises. The cooperative being, in this case, a second level structure. This is interesting to know because very often is not known. Well, both types are growing around the world. The most of them are small and medium size enterprises. Well, there are also big workers' cooperatives. For instance, my own cooperative has now 4,000 members, workers. And there are also other very important cooperatives, for instance, in Italy. But in general, cooperatives are not very, very big. Industrial cooperatives and services cooperatives are not very big. It is estimated that both types put together provide direct employment in around 20 million people, namely one-fifth of direct employment for the world cooperative movement. In some regions, very gracious in Europe, this ratio can jump to one-third. And in some countries, for example, in Italy, one-half of the total employment of cooperatives. The SICOPA cooperative constituency is probably the one undergoing the highest rate of growth in the world, together with credit cooperatives, including credit unions and cooperative banks and cooperative microcredit. It is similar to the growth of consumer cooperatives in the 19th century, and housing cooperatives in very specific periods, such as after World War II in Europe. Its growth potential is also very important, especially in terms of employment and local development. Indeed, it is difficult to imagine in which other sectors than industry and services can small and medium enterprises, start-up, take place. The first type, workers' cooperatives, is the most important one in the world in terms of organized movement, including within SICOPA. Worker cooperatives are cooperatives where the members are the workers of the enterprise, are growing in various parts of the world under various modalities. Worker cooperative starts up, especially in Western Europe and in Latin America. That is dramatically growing now, everywhere. Not only in the south of Europe, even in the north, for instance, in Finland. And in United Kingdom, that worker cooperatives is not a very big tradition, now is starting with big force. Worker buyouts, we are destined to become conventional worker cooperatives, but with specific difficulties. Both from the economic point of view and the point of view of the enterprise culture. The first aspect, because many are enterprises in crisis being saved through the cooperative system. And that adds additional difficulties to that. And it's a different enterprise culture, changing the enterprise culture from the one of traditional labor relations towards the self-management one of worker cooperatives usually requires that big effort. It's not easy, this transition, this change of mind. The growth has been particularly significant in France, Italy, Spain, China, Mercosur countries, and South Africa. Another kind of cooperatives is social cooperatives. Well, we can say every cooperative is social. That is true. But there are a specific form of cooperatives that has worn in Italy that provides social services or do labor insertion of disadvantaged persons, or both. Their main epicenter is Italy, with over 7,000 enterprises, and has had a spectacular growing, spectacular. Thousands and thousands of jobs. In this moment, if in Italy disappear the social cooperatives, many, many, many services to the citizens in the village and in certain cities disappear also. And it was a very, very big catastrophe for the citizens. And now there is a need for the local governments and the local institutions to have this kind of cooperatives. This growing more and more because the welfare state that follows the social model of Europe is in crisis, and state is retiring from some fields of protection that before they had, and now is retiring of this kind of things, and there is a privatization of this kind of services. And between privatization with a neoliberal model of privatization in conversion into cooperatives, there are much, much differences, very big differences. And it's better for the citizens to have cooperatives in this kind of services, because they are very linked to the community or to the needs of the community. In France, in Spain, in Belgium, in Poland also, is growing a kind of similar cooperatives, social cooperatives. And there are also multi-stakeholder cooperatives. What does it mean? For instance, in Mondragon, not only in Mondragon, but I know that not only the workers are members of the workers' cooperatives, they are also the workers of the consumer cooperatives, of the credit cooperatives, of educational cooperatives, or services cooperatives, are also members of the cooperative. I mean that we have cooperativized, no, is correct, the work everywhere, not only in the workers' cooperatives. That means that in our consumer cooperatives, maybe two types of members, workers and consumers. In our credit cooperatives, savers, and in our educational, workers, teachers, and parents, for instance, or the same students if they are in the university. And not only that, because in our cooperatives you can find also other kind of members. For instance, the cooperatives itself, they collaborate with a workers' cooperative, collaborates by means of financial support, technical support, marketing support, internationalization support, and so and so. That means that there are many, many, many ways to collaborate in a very flexible organization in a worker cooperatives. And not only that, we have listened something this day about voluntary. Voluntaries in social enterprises or something like that. That is also a possibility to collaborate inside the cooperative organization. Not only that, even the trade unions may participate as members. Why not? And even the local institutions. Why not? The only thing we have to take account is that the power must be in a worker cooperative in the workers' hands, and not to lose the independence and the autonomy. But we need any help we can reach, any help. The future is the intercooperation. That is clear. That starts in the same composition of membership. And I think that the cooperative method is very flexible from a point of view, organizational point of view. It's very flexible. And where this is not possible because the legislation doesn't allow that, I think that we have to think about that, to make more flexible our organizational requirements without losing the main principle that workers are the owners and the chief of the workers cooperative. And what about the other type of cooperative in SICOPA? Artisans cooperatives and cooperatives of small medium enterprises are also significant and growing in several parts of the world, especially France, Germany, Italy, India, Egypt, and sub-Saharan Africa. Here, when we talk about artisans, we mean small producers of goods or services in a whole array of specific subsectors, such as bakers, watchers, electricians, taxi drivers, truck drivers, hairdressers, etc., etc. The frontier between the two models, worker cooperatives and artisan cooperatives, is sometimes blurred. For example, the village handloom weavers in India traditionally work at home with their families, as they have done for generations. It is improbable that this will change overnight, as the whole architecture, urbanism, social and family life of those villages are based on work at home. But on the other hand, with their gathering into cooperative groupings, the individual weaving family is increasingly linked organizationally to the local village cooperative in the production process, as in a cluster. The member artisans are generally paid according to what they and their families produce. But as their work increasingly becomes a full-time occupation, this mode of remuneration increasingly resembles a stable income. Furthermore, the final stages of production, such as packaging, are done on the premises of the cooperative. That means that it's a process of entrepreneurialization, progressive entrepreneurialization of this kind of activities. In France, the so-called cooperatives d'activité d'emploi are also a borderline case. They gather individual entrepreneurs, for example, architects, designers, graphists, who mutualize a series of services, accounting, administration, marketing and so on and so, but also share the status of salaried workers, which in France is more advantageous than the one of self-employed. Thus, they are configured as worker cooperatives according to the national worker cooperative legislation. There are many variables depending on the states and their own legislation. The two models, worker and artisan cooperatives, share a number of common characteristics, of course. The first, they are cooperatives of producers. The second, belongs to the same industrial and services sector. That means that they are facing a number of similar issues in terms of legislation, standardization, harmonization, and challenges from economic globalization. Therefore, the representation of cooperatives must increasingly take place along sectoral lines. An example is the debate that is taking place in Europe on the services of general interest. It's not of the general interest of all the cooperative movement, but very special are concerned the sector that works in this kind of services. This explains why they find themselves under the same federations in several countries. For instance, in Italy, artisans and cooperatives are in the same federation. In Egypt, in Tanzania also. And also why SICOPA and SICOPA Europe groups the two types. But worker cooperatives as a type are specific in terms of labor relations called worker ownership, travail associé en français, trabajo asociado en español, and share specific problems that are different from the ones of artisans cooperatives, especially in terms of labor relations within the enterprise, and thus also in terms of labor laws and of relations with the trade unions. I am very simple in my exposition. After we can open place to the questions or something like that. Maybe we can develop deeply this kind of affirmations. The type of labor relation in a worker cooperative is so specific, that is very important for us, that SICOPA has singled out with its affiliates around the world a series of interpretative characteristics of the cooperative principles, of the general cooperative principles, which have been assembled in SICOPA's World Declaration on Worker Cooperatives, that you know without doubt, which was approved by the ICA's General Assembly in the last year. It's called also the Oslo Declaration because SICOPA approved this declaration in Oslo in the occasion of this General Assembly in Oslo. But now has been approved by the General Assembly in Cartagena by the ICA as a whole. And it's very, very, very important. And I suggest you that sometimes we have to remember the content of this declaration. Anyway, I am going to make some. The main one of the contents, the very important contents of this declaration, is that regulates the main standards of cooperative worker ownership. I am going to mention only a few. The members should be the workers and vice versa, in their majority. That is not so well followed by all the workers' cooperatives. It's very usual to see that there are workers' cooperatives that a minority are the nucleus, the central nucleus, the earth of the enterprise, and they are surrounded by many, 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 many which salaried people. That is not acceptable. It's not correct from that point of view, cooperative point of view. It's not correct. If we have reached to be free, like a free association of workers, we can't discriminate other workers in our company, and we are obliged to offer to them the same possibilities as us. Then is to share the same condition. The cooperative is to do that. If not, is we are with the appearance of a cooperative, we are the worst capitalists in the world. Worse than the others, because the others have other principles. While this kind of cooperatives, they have our principles, but they are in contradiction, in extreme contradiction with in his life. Then another problem, the false cooperatives. A further reason for the establishment of those standards is the multiplication of false worker cooperatives. We are seeing a multiplication of false worker cooperatives, especially in Latin America, in the wake of the economic crisis and the flexibilization of the workforce. Many of those false cooperatives are just similar to interim job agencies, in which people out of work are put in a situation where they cannot choose, simply as a mass layout. It was observed that the general cooperative standards, definition, values, principles, as such, were not sufficient to prevent such abuses. It was thus necessary to provide interpretative standards specific for workers' cooperatives. It's something that concerns to us and is very, how se dice, preocupante, very...
Worrisome. Worrisome.
Yes. Even the normal entrepreneurs set up this kind of cooperatives to externalize their jobs, to make more flexible their exploitation, to lower the wages, and to avoid the obligations of social security and taxes and paying taxes and so on and so on. And this is a prostitution of the cooperativism. We have to fight very, very firmly against this kind of cooperatives, because they are bad cooperatives, but they ruin the image of the other cooperatives that are good cooperatives. And trade unions and governments, when say that, they say cooperatives are not good. Then we have to destroy this kind of experiences. Well, I follow with the trends of... The first cooperative principle must be conditional to the existence of a job in our team, or working team. Before, it has been one of the questions. What are the requirements to be a member in a workers' cooperative? Well, the first requirement is to be the need of a job, of an activity. If you don't need, nothing to do. It's not like in a consumer cooperative, that is free. Everyone may adhere to the cooperative, and no problem. In a worker cooperative, the first thing is to have jobs. The second, the requirements, the professional requirements. It's very simple. If I need an engineer. I request an engineer, and I make a process of selection, like in another company. Except one thing, the cooperative engagement. That is another thing, and for that we have to introduce a period of testing. Where you are able to see if he fits or she fits the requirements, the professional requirements, and the cooperative requirements. It's a moment of mutual knowledge, and where you can say you interest me, and you are interested in me, and then we go together. If not, it's time to cut. Then the first cooperative principle, the free adhesion, has this limitation in our case. The cooperative enterprise must have control over its production instruments and process. May be tangible or intangible. That is something related with the false cooperatives. If you haven't any mean of production of goods, of services, that means that you have only your work, force of working. And it's dangerous. When you have only that, you can convert into a temporal agency of employment. And it's not the aim of the cooperative, workers' cooperative. The workers' cooperative has its own activity. Simple, complicated, very, very developed, technologically high, simple, but its own activity. And has to be controlled by their members, not outside. Worker ownership, is the third labor modality in the world, alongside conventional salaried work and self-employment. I have read in your web some works that you have made, and there is a guide, I think, if I remember well, that where you make the distinction between the relation, two kind of relations in the workers' cooperative, the employer-employee relation, and the wages, the self-employment. I am very interested in knowing your point of view of that, because in Europe it's not general, but for instance in Spain, in Italy, is acknowledged that there is a third type of relationship. It's a relation that is not labor relation, but is societal relation. Even if it's the content is of work. And that mean many things. For instance, in our case, in our legislation, we are able to organize everything in our life, without any dependence of even of trade unions, collective conventions, and so on. So, it doesn't mean that we are very far of this kind of results of the workers' organizations. No. But we are free to organize the days of work, the hours of work, the salaries, everything. The promotion political, everything. We are considered that, and very often when a member of a cooperative goes to the court to defend their rights, his rights, very often the courts doesn't permit to support their reasons, in the labor rules of laws. Always they go to the statutes, bylaws, and the internal rules of the cooperative, because we are allowed to do that. It doesn't mean that we are out of the trade unions movement. No. But we are very flexible in our organization. And we are our own employer. And then it's us who make the decisions. In a general assembly, sometimes the general secretary of the employers in the Basque Country tell me that he's jealous of cooperatives of cooperative flexibility and so on, and that the trade unions doesn't have many to do in much to do in our companies. And I answer him that it's very easy to him. If they give to the workers the possibility to make decisions about their own organization, their salaries, and everything, they will have the same flexibility as us. Then is their decision to have this flexibility or not. No? The declaration is also in application to worker cooperatives of ILO recommendation 193, approved in the 2002, on the promotion of cooperatives. It's very, very, very important instrument. It's one of the best examples to show how important is the defense of the general interest of cooperatives. Because very often we only are ready to defend our cooperative, our own sector, and not much. And very often when we are able to cooperate the different sectors and like a movement, even in a regional level, at a state level, at international level, we are much more effective. And we are much more effective for everyone. When we reach a declaration like this, where for the first time an instrument like the declaration of identity of cooperative values and principles, that is an instrument cooperative, has been accepted by ILO for the first time, one external document has been its own document. That is very, very, very important. But it's not only a question of formal accepting the content also. We have been able to influence in all the content of this declaration. And it's really impressive, unless in terms of declaration, the importance that governments, trade unions, and employers give to the cooperative enterprises as one mean of social and economic developing mean in the world. It's impressive. And there are politics that if different governments follow, we have more means to develop as cooperatives than before. That is clear. And before this declaration of ILO is a guide from the United Nations also with the same content. That means that very often, even if we don't give the importance to this kind of things, when some people is occupied by this kind of things, they are working very effectively for all the cooperatives, for the smaller cooperatives for all the cooperative movement. This declaration points out to the necessity for the other cooperative sectors, governments as well as supra and intergovernmental institutions and trade unions and employees organizations to promote worker cooperatives. And what is the CICOPA's main work? At first, representation and lobby. For example, on the request from a substantial part of its constituency, it got involved in the very heavy work that lasted 2 years and brought about the above mentioned ILO recommendation 183, which followed shortly the Union Nations guidelines on cooperatives in terms of mobilization of its own members to be accredited and come to the negotiations, consensus building within the ICA, and negotiations with the various parties involved, governments, trade unions, employees, or organizations. CICOPA continues to lobby for recognition by the ILO of cooperative worker ownership as a third labor modality in the world, and engage the ILO in development strategies for the development of workers' cooperatives. There's a meeting in Geneva, because they are interested in knowing better the workers' cooperative movement, to utilize our knowledge, our know-how of this field, to extend this decent work in the world by their organizations, by the ILO. They are ready to push into some governments that are able to help in this kind of and I hope that we'll arrive to something with ILO, because they are very interested in that. They understand very well that workers' cooperative is a very, very good instrument to create employment, decent work, and to make possible a local development with the roots in the territory and so on and so on. And they are very interested, and they are hopefully of that. Another thing is the legislation work. Legislative watch and comparative legislation on worker cooperatives, social cooperatives, as well as any relevant sectoral legislation. In this moment, we are still in the process of collecting legislations and to reflect upon the criteria of analysis. We are also trying to constitute an international team of legal experts in worker cooperative legislation. Because we, as we say in Spain, we haven't any need to discover the Mediterranean Sea. The Mediterranean Sea exists there. Then the experiences that there are many experiences, legislative experiences, if we are able to compare and to make a good model of legislation, I think we are making a big effort to make possible the development of cooperatives. Because a good legislation is the best instrument, not the best, it's necessary instrument to make a good cooperative development. Another thing is the data collection and analysis on industrial and service cooperatives. Already began in 2004, but presently trying to identify and harmonize statistical criteria together with the other ICA sectoral organizations. That is one thing that we are concerned in every level of international organizations. In Europe, for instance, we are working very hardly to have an image, because cooperatives are very important in everywhere, but they are unknown. Even when we know an enterprise, a product of an enterprise, we say it's a good enterprise, has good results, has good products, has good services, invest much, creates employment, etc., etc. And they don't know that it's a cooperative. There are many, many, many. Now, in the last General Assembly in Europe, has been presented the 300 top cooperatives. It's impressive. If you join together the turnover of these 3,000 cooperatives, it's similar to the national product of Canada, the tenth country most important economic and all the employment of cooperatives is more employees than all the multinational together. The 50% of the capacity of buying is in the hands of consumer cooperatives. Between the 60 or the 70% of the agricultural production is in the hands of agricultural cooperatives. The market share of the credit cooperatives is very high in developed countries, in France, in Italy, in everywhere. It's very, very important. Think of the possibilities of mixing this power. If we were able to intercooperate from a point of entrepreneurial point of view, not only from an associative or federative or political point of view, the face of the earth will change, without any doubt. And I think that is our biggest challenge for this century: the entrepreneurial intercooperation. The entrepreneurial intercooperation, because the associative and federative intercooperation is something solid in our culture. We are the unique globalized organization in the world. And if not the unique, the most important. More than 750 members in the world, with a common identity. We share the same values, the same principles. We are effectively a globalized organization. And we are not the alternative, but a very important contribution to another globalization. To another globalization with face, human face. We need an economy to the service of citizens, of people, not the people in the service of economical aims. And that is our challenge for the next century. If we are able to work together in an entrepreneurial way, we'll be more effective than before. Much more effective than before. Another work is providing information and networking services to its members, including facilitating relations among cooperatives and subsectoral networking, and providing news and information on industrial service workers, social artisans, cooperatives at the international level to the outside world. Very important thing, federating and institution building. CICOPA tries to identify new representatives and promoting organizations of cooperatives of its constituency around the world, and even in some cases, simply as the United States, takes part in the advisory preparatory work for the constitution of new cooperative organizations. Over the last few years, SICOPA has affiliated new organizations from China, Brazil, the United States, Malta, Mongolia, Slovenia, Estonia, Luxembourg, the United Kingdom, South Korea, South Africa, and has revived passive and inactive memberships in Tanzania, Senegal, and Costa Rica. Relations with the trade unions at the world level just began, but we have preliminary meetings with the International Confederation of Free Trade Unions. And recently we have been with its General Secretary, Guy Reeder. And he was very interested in cooperatives. Was worried because now they are not entrepreneurs. They are financial tip that goes from here, from that, and they are not concerned by making services, by making goods, by making that. They are only concerned by making money, not more. Unless the old entrepreneurs were entrepreneurs that have an activity, an useful activity. Now is not the case. And then they are thinking of the importance of the cooperative model, because they think that we are really entrepreneurs, very dedicated, very professional, and very concerned by the community problem. And above all, for them, for the trade unions, we don't delocate. We have the roots in the field that gives us the essence, and we return back to the field the products that we have. Then we don't delocate. It's a message that even the Commission, the European Commission, says cooperatives are needed because they don't delegate. And our everything is trying to do that. The French government, the Spanish government, they are very worried about that, because the multinationals come and go. That depends on the business. Well, we remain there. And then they are accepting the necessity of cooperatives, and not only that, they are accepting the need of some kind of limitations to this kind of movements. For instance, subsidies or helps of the state to different multinational now is going to be conditioned to the permanence in the territory. Well, before, they were the first in having the subsidies, and the first in abandon the territory. And now they have merged the two big world trade unions, the free trade unions and the Confederación Mundial de Trabajo. And they have merged, and now is a unique representation of all the trade unions in the world. And when they have promised us that when they finish this process of merger, they will put in connection again with us to speak about this kind of things that we are interested every more. At the end, enhancing the cohesiveness of an intercooperation within the international cooperative movement, SICOPA is deeply engaged in the reform of the ICA strategy, structures, procedures, through its involvement in the governance working group. It is also involved in the ongoing structuring of an ICA intersectoral committee, In fact, our General Secretary is the coordinator of this committee. Its main regional organization, SECOPA Europe, is deeply involved in the regionalization process and the reform of the ICA in the region of Europe. Through its direct promotion and membership as a founding member of Cooperatives Europe, the new regional institution of the ICA for Europe. We have just approved, passed in the last week in Manchester, in the United Kingdom, in the occasion of the General Assembly of ICA Europe, the new organization. And what is the trade, most important trade of this, the incorporation of sectoral organizations to the bodies of the ICA Europe. Before they were sectoral organizations, separated. Now they are integrated in the General Assembly and also in the European Council and so in every body of the ICA Europe. And I think that it has been necessary because Europe is becoming very slow. I must admit that very slowly, but in a new region, very, very politically united and so. It's becoming from an economic union to a political union. And there, 50% of the laws in the European Union are passed in the European Parliament and in the European institutions. And then we have to work very, very, very hard collaborating with these institutions. And that's why we need also the sectoral presence, because the sectoral organizations are the know-how. They have the knowledge of the technical knowledge of every field, and many legislations and rules need this kind of consultancy. That's why we are very concerned in this process. We have reached to do that. I don't know what is the perception in other regions of ACA of this process of regionalization. But believe me, I think that if we are able to make a better and bigger and stronger ICA Europe, you are wielding an ICA more performance. And I think that every region has its particularities and its specificities. But I think that the effort of European cooperative movement is very, very important, in my opinion, in my view. And I think it's a sort of refundation of, because before, ICA is a sort of conglomerate. But I am not going now to criticize that. If there wasn't, we must to create a new ICA. But I think we are to adapt. We have to adapt our organizations every day. And now the European movement has considered to do that. I think it's good for everyone and for all the cooperative movement.
We do have time for a couple of questions. There's just something someone has on their mind they'd like to ask Javier to comment on.
They are sourced.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe you'll translate.
Yes. In Europe,
how many
In Europe, there are more than 60,000 workers' cooperatives. And the members are at about 1.5 million. Workers' cooperatives, artisans, there are more. The most important presence is in Italy, Spain, and in France. The workers' cooperative tradition is more of the south of Europe than of the north of Europe. In the north of Europe, there is a biggest tradition for consumer cooperatives, agricultural cooperatives, and credit cooperatives also. But it's not so much of workers' cooperatives. But now, even in the north, they are setting up many workers' cooperatives in local development, even in high technological activities also, because they are professionals that are thinking of living labor conditions of equality, of equity and equality, and not big differences. For instance, researchers. There are cooperative research and development institutions and cooperatives. That's because they feel the necessity of organizing in other way, more democratically. And I think that is maybe my last affirmation, very, very strong. The workers' cooperative is a model very, very, very modern and very contemporary, and is of the future. It's not something of the 19th century. It's of the future. Why? Because every company has the need of implication, of involvement of their workers in their objectives and in their activities. And the best way to do that is to give to the workers the possibility to decide. Then, what is the most important capital in the worker cooperatives? It's people. It's people. And then we are interested in growing as like persons, like professionals, like entrepreneurs, and like citizens also. And then is the best answer to the needs of what is considered the future of our society, the knowledge society. We are the best model to that. I think that where the human being is best considered is in the workers' cooperatives. It's a model of that contains many of the features of the work relations in the future. And then we have to be confident in our model and be proud of our model, because we are needed for the world, for the people. The last one?
Yeah, I guess we have time for one last question.
We have so many members and so much economic process. Why do we have so little influence?
Why? The workers' cooperatives are not so big. Then the influence for the maybe this kind of consideration is good for the cooperative as a whole. For instance, when I have learned that in Alberta the 65% of the population is member of one cooperative, I ask, what is the real influence of that? Yes. I think that we are not good to sell ourselves. We are not good. Because if we were so good as many companies that makes an image of social responsibility and so on and so, is marketing. They are able to do that, even if they don't do anything seriously. We are not able to do that. That's why we have to ganar la batalla de la imagen.
We have to win. Gain or win the battle of the image.
The battle of the image.
Speaking about marketing.
That's why, for instance, we haven't the dates enough considered. It's not acceptable that. We are 700 and we have so many employments. This kind of market share, etc., etc. We are not able to do to say that. The first to have the dates, after to make to influence to others, and the third. If we are so much members, I think we have the possibility to influence more than the political parties and local governments and in the States and in the world. We have the possibility to bring to the educational curricula the cooperative subjects, and so on. So it's something that needs a real strategy to do that. But I agree with you that we haven't been able to convert our real presence in apparent presence before the society. But it's one of the things we have to do. And it's one of the main priorities, for instance, of the ICA, the ICA Europe, and I think it's the same here. It's the same here.